This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. On Friday, militants from the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army attacked about 25 police posts in Myanmar's Rakhine State. As the government security forces took retaliatory action, thousands, both Muslim and Buddhist civilians from the northern part of Rakhine State, fled the area towards the border with Bangladesh. It's believed that now over 100 people have died since a Friday's attack. On the line is Lillian Fan, International Director of Gutanyo Foundation and also Deputy Chair of the Asia-Pacific Refugee Rights Network. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Lillian. I want to begin with the question of reports that we're getting that there have been attacks on civilians by security forces going house to house, killing men, women and children. How credible are these reports?
I think like in any situation of armed conflict, it's a situation where it's very difficult to verify reports that are, emerging. The reality on the ground is that there's absolutely no access for media and for even aid agencies now. Particularly in Mongdor, Butidong, and Ratadong, which are the areas in northern Rakhine State, which is where this clearance operation is taking place. But what is clear is that there are massive numbers of Muslims in particular, but also Rakhine Buddhists who have been displaced by this violence. And the clearance operations are extremely intense. And there are, of course, reports that are emerging about the human rights abuses. And it's very likely that there are really serious human rights abuses taking place, because we saw that since October last year, when the clearance operation started after the first attack that this militant group launched against the Myanmar military, that the crackdown was incredibly severe and really did not make a distinction between civilians and combatants. And I think this is one of the main worries that international organizations, organizations concerned with the Rohingya situation,
I'm going to ask you very quickly now, is this a government policy? Is this reasonable, a proportionate response to the security threats posed by this militant group? Or is this a form of collective punishment? And do we have instances in the past of such collective punishment?
It's absolutely disproportionate. I mean, I think there's really, what you call, the laws of war dictate that under international humanitarian law, you have to use the principles of distinction and proportionality. The way that the Myanmar military is conducting this operation has actually violated both of those principles since October, and certainly before that, as well. Of course, there's been this long history of oppression and discrimination against this particular group. So this actually is not an appropriately proportionate response at all. It's completely disproportionate. There is, of course, this militant group that's emerged. But I think, number one, we have to realize that, the scale of their capacity, they may be larger than, people were prepared for. They did launch surprise attacks. But at the same time, these are not, incredibly well-armed militants. They're not at the scale of the Tamil Tigers, for example. They're certainly not using incredibly sophisticated weapons. That's number one. Number two, there's been collective punishment that's been taking place against Rohingya for so many years. And that really does influence the way that this military operation is taking place. There is immediate suspicion, particularly of all the men, which is why what you have now is that most men are actually going into hiding, and the women and children are trying to flee the border across the Naaf River to Bangladesh.
Now, we also understand that, in the past we've had leaders in ASEAN warning that the oppression of the Rohingya people would lead, in fact, to radicalization, that there would be perhaps opportunities for groups like the Islamic State to influence the Rohingya in dealing with a very repressive state apparatus of the Myanmar government. Is there any kind of understanding of what Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, that's the name that's given in some of the reports, what they stand for?
Yes, it's very clear what they stand for. I mean, this is a militant group that's actually fighting for the rights of the Rohingya. Yes, they are using an armed struggle and they're using violence, which, all humanitarian organizations certainly do not approve of. We condemn violence on every side. But at the same time, I think it's important to make the distinction between, radical Islamic groups, if you want to call it, the jihadist type of agendas, and certainly terrorism, like we see in Daesh. And groups like this, which are actually a result of a failed policy for years, both of the Myanmar government and I would say also of the international community and the regional community. You know, ASEAN has failed time and time again. Here we are celebrating, you know, 50 years of ASEAN. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, our joint policy on Myanmar has been actually really, you know, quite disgraceful.
I just wanted to interject here. The Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army has called on international groups, aid groups, to stay and help. But the United Nations, I understand, is evacuating all non-essential staff in the region. And Aung San Suu Kyi's office has also compounded the situation for the aid workers by accusing them of working with terrorists. In fact, we have a statement from Matthew Smith, executive director of the human rights non-profit 45 Rights, says that Aung San Suu Kyi's inflammatory propaganda is fueling anti-Rohingya and anti-aid worker sentiment at a time when she should be doing everything in her power to instill calm and promote human rights. What do you think is happening with Aung San Suu Kyi's government? Have they lost the initiative on managing the Rohingya problem?
Well, I think they've, you know, they don't have actually the right type of approach to the resolving the Rohingya crisis. I mean, one good thing that they did do, of course, was to established the Kofi Annan-led Rakhine Advisory Commission. And, you know, unfortunately, this commission has just submitted its report literally on the same day as these attacks took place. So I do think, you know, there's a level of will to find long-term solutions, but I do think there's also been, you know, a sense of Aung San Suu Kyi's government, number one, giving in to the military and at times actually defending them. And really, the statement against aid workers, that's coming from Aung San Suu Kyi's office. And I do think that it is absolutely irresponsible and incredibly dangerous. You now have aid workers who are the only source of sustenance and, you know, meeting basic needs in an extremely vulnerable population where you have hundreds of thousands of people who are already under such distress, you know, thousands of children who are actually facing severe malnutrition. You know, these rates have been increasing dramatically, and they're at the levels of sub-Saharan Africa. So we really, you know, have to take this very seriously. And the accusation that aid workers, because some aid might end up in the hands of communities who actually, you know, have relationships with people who are in the militant movement, it's absolutely irresponsible to blame aid workers and restrict aid agencies.
Thank you very much. That was Lillian Phan, International Director of Gotanyo Foundation and Deputy Chair of the Asia-Pacific Refugee Rights Network, speaking about the Rohingya crisis in Myanmar. We'll be back with more business news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.